Legendary bell. Uh-oh.
It's time to start the podcast. This is Pop-Up Podcast. Bob Rivers here with my son, comic Andrew Rivers.
Greetings.
It's kind of a, I think it's a kind of a cool banner weekend for us because you did your first headlining show at Wise Guy Comedy Club in Las Vegas. For those of you who don't know where that is, it's near the dump.
Right next to my career.
No, it's actually right near the Strat, and it's a cool little club. And
Well, they have two locations as well, so this was the Arts District.
that's right. And there's one at the
Town Square?
Town Square Mall. And so Lisa and I went to the first show, which was, I didn't know, the roast of Tom Brady, except his dad was Tom Brady. It was great. I
I
mean,
get it.
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had to get
No, it took me a long time.
it. So,
All the jokes are about him. That's what, yeah.
yeah.
It was the roast of Bob Rivers.
But I loved it. I used to get my feelings hurt, and not anymore. I mean,
Well,
feet.
you get the best lines in the show, so
Well, thank you. And most of the stuff that he says is pretty accurate. There's,
Yeah. I was curious of your reaction to it and your, do you feel misrepresented? Do you feel like,
Well, all right. I don't want to give up too much because this is part of your set now, right?
Sure. I mean,
Okay.
it's,
Yeah.
yeah, no one's going to come to the show and be like, I heard 3 minutes about this on a podcast. I'm spoiled.
The part that you got wrong, and it was, and it's very human of you. There are so many details that you use the actual real life details on me, and they're funny because I do try to be funny, by the way. That's how I'm coping with cancer. That's how
Yeah.
I've been coping with.
It's inspirational,
That's how I've been
by
coping with your mother
the
42 years. Oh, there she
Oh,
is.
shit.
There's the picture.
She didn't hear
No.
that.
You know what? If she could watch the roast of Tom Brady, there's
Yeah.
nothing I could do to
She's
her.
been in a giggling mood all weekend.
Okay. So behind the scenes, we moved here to Las Vegas a couple of years ago so that it would be easier to visit and see our offspring, so that we could not pay a lot of taxes. And also, we'd never lived in an area known for its sunshine and dryness. And it has worked out pretty well. And what started to happen is Andrew kept coming to visit. And when he would visit, he would know some comic, and they would put you on stage and you would do a guest set. And so we would go watch to see 10 minutes or 20 or whatever the maximum is. And which other clubs were you?
We did you saw me at Jimmy Kimmel with Craig Gass,
That's
probably.
right.
Yeah.
Did you do one at the Strat?
I did, but you didn't come watch that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was nauseous that
I
night,
mean, it's
and I
the
was sure your comedy would
well,
not help.
yeah. Well, the headliner was Corey Michaelis, so that would have been making us both vomit.
Oh,
But
I love Corey though.
yeah,
He's great.
he's a fun boy.
Okay. So anyway, what happens is we go to a club. Maybe it's the third or fourth time we go to see comedy here. And this has happened every time. Someone comes up to Andrew and says, they're walking over to the table and they say, "You're Andrew Rivers. Oh, you're one of my favorite comics." And they could be from anywhere in the country because no one, in Vegas didn't fly here because they don't know how to do math.
I think that's why they fly here,
That's
to
exactly why.
gamble, because they don't know how to do math.
Yeah. So at the third or fourth club we went to, Wise Guys, one of the managers came up and said, "Hey, Andrew, how you doing?" And she knew you from a different club.
Yeah, she used to manage the Salt Lake City location. This is what it's good to have, sort of franchisees that will, you make rounds early on in your career, and then people stick around in this business in some capacity.
And the ones who run the comedy clubs really love comedy
Yeah.
because they're not billionaires.
Well, they yeah, it's no one's getting rich off comedy.
Except for
Kevin Hart
Chris Rock,
and
yes. And
the one percenters, yeah.
Taylor Tomlinson, we have to mention her.
Sure.
She's like, this is a comic young gal who blew up on the internet, who we saw co-headline with you, what, probably about six
yes.
years ago.
Well, it was probably longer than that, but yeah, combined now we've generated millions in revenue. So
combined,
between the both of us.
Anyway, by the way, is she burning herself out by doing that CBS show?
Probably.
Yeah. I got to think, I think they record like three at a time, and it's a game show with other comics. You mm-hmm. should get on that.
Yeah. Cool. Have you heard of SNL? You should try out. Yeah.
You should stop having an unlisted number, first off. That's getting in your way.
That's really the problem.
Anyway, I'm very proud of you, son. We went to the show the other night. Now, and by the way, this will be coming out midweek, so you also just finished a podcast with a celebrity.
Yeah, Craig Ferguson, tomorrow.
That's when you're recording.
Yeah, we record tomorrow, and I don't know when he'll put that out, but yeah, that's exciting, you know? Mm. I figured this would be a fun warm-up podcast, you know?
Does he know you, Craig?
I mean, I just worked with him in Tacoma. And
or did he have a last-minute cancellation and he had to fill the spot?
We were just in the green room and mentioning about how late night doesn't even pay anymore and, you know, things aren't as good in show business as they used to. I said, oh, you have a podcast? He said, yeah. Mm. And then he just randomly was like, you should be on the podcast. Oh. And then I was like, okay. And then he looked at his manager and he was like, joke.
Comics are generally very nice to each other. Is that a true statement?
Sure. I think you have a kindred spirit or, you know, you belong to a community because you have shared experiences and like Radio Boot Camp for you, like wherever you go in the world, if you run into a comedian, you have a shared set of experiences and you have you speak the same language almost. Yes, yeah. It's like going on you're on this voyage, you're on a spaceship.
You're on this hike where frequently you yes. don't know anybody.
Yes.
And suddenly you meet a joke Sherpa that you've seen somewhere on another mountain.
Absolutely. Yes. And especially early on in your career, you're at the same open mics with everybody. You're all in this community. And then when you get to a paying level, you got to go to Tallahassee. He's got to go to Tennessee. You know, your best friend is in Brooklyn and then people move to LA. And so you're really not, even if you both live in Seattle, you're just not seeing each other all the time. And so
now you're going to be in LA next couple of days.
Yeah.
You're going to crash at Christopher Titus's house, kind of be like his who was the guy who crashed at OJ's house? I can't remember.
I don't know.
But you're gonna be living on his couch for a few days.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna stay with Keith for a couple of days. They specifically used the word one night you can stay. I just
you know, some people don't get those subtle hints. I like that. Yeah. Hey, would you like to come visit for one night?
Yeah. Yeah.
We would love to have you for one night. And while you're here, about 2 hours that we talk to each other. Yeah. Then you could go find.
Go on your computer.
You have a computer.
Why is there a checkout slip under my door in the morning? That seems weird.
That's neat, though. One of the things I like about you visiting us is it's a working trip for you. And so we don't have to entertain you kind of all the time. And you're having fun.
Well, I wouldn't want you to entertain me the whole time.
Increasingly, audiences agree.
I get a lot of requests for the podcast to come back. So I'm glad I finally bullied you into it.
Oh, you didn't have to. It was my idea. But, you know, for about 4 or 5 months there, my chemo symptoms.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not complaining. I never complain about anything.
That's by the way, can I give you your props? Like for an old guy with a Facebook account, you didn't share pictures. You didn't complain. Just even with cancer, you've set an unrealistic standard for me to live up to.
Good. So. I hope to continue doing that. What it is look, at this age, most people, you know, have a health issue and you can sit and talk about it. And, you know, humanity, civilization, and specifically our tiny corner in it, the divided states of America, we have the worst food, the worst diet. It's almost as if Big Medicine got together with Big Food and said, I'll tell you what, Big Food, you make stuff that gives people chronic conditions but doesn't quite kill them. And that will be good for us because in their final 2 or 3 decades, we're going to make mint. Shall we shake on it? Just a guess.
Yeah, this has been a reenactment.
Reenactment of the Big Food, Big Pharma Summit. What do you think about the world these days? You're almost 40 years old, and I apologize, we're leaving you a really shitty world.
I think I kind of joked about this, but I think things have just generally been the same. I just think we have access to the information of all the awful things going on in the world. So, you can watch a war on TikTok now and it feels more real. And that's why young people are sort of radicalized because they're seeing all this stuff going on and it's awful. And they don't know how to make any changes because the power structure prevents that. And so.
Great observation, by the way. And I have been, I don't want to say thrilled or happy, but I have been, it has given me hope that young people are finally protesting something, having their own voice, going against, in our case, it was Richard Nixon, with the war in Vietnam. They're going against what the power structures are doing, the military-industrial complex. I know you do some reading, it's probably too deep for your audiences, but let's throw it out there anyway.
Hey.
A huge part of our economy, about one sixth of it, is based on building weapons,
Yeah.
killing people,
It's a little
having
silly
arms.
where they're like, the war for Israel is, this big, like Biden's getting in trouble because of it, and it's not something he can necessarily control. But then we're selling them the weapons, but now we're saying, well, we're not gonna give you the weapons if you're gonna use them to blow people up. And it's kinda like, well,
What do you
what
think
do we
weapons are
think? What
for?
the yeah, we're in the weapons business,
Well, it's all about perception. And that's what, and I think the protests are having an impact.
For sure.
But the protests also cause us to ask other deeper questions, because we've always had an issue with anti-Semitism, which of course was at its worst during World War II and the horrific atrocities of Hitler. And now there's still some there's some anti-anything. There's some anti
Samantha Ada
There's some
Rivers at
anti-40 year olds with long hair out
that.
there. And so what's going on with
I
this
wish
is,
people would protest at my show, though, it would increase my numbers.
yeah. So what's going on with this is, Israel was attacked viciously, had a right to go back and defend themselves if you think that war rights are like.
Right. No, I mean, when we got attacked, we didn't just go bomb another country and murder a bunch of civilians and, stay over there for 20 years. I mean, we would never do something like
No,
that.
we
So,
would send them the weapons to fight each other.
yes.
By
That's
the
a
way,
much more humane way to do it.
but that's it. That's what I
Right.
see. That's what we do now. We are we are one side in two proxy wars in the
Yeah.
world, and one of them is so bad that
Yeah.
they're using the genocide word,
Yeah.
and the other one is, Russia versus the U.S. That's as old as Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra. And far as that's a hit record that plays. So I'm generally down on it all, by the way. And I don't pay too much attention to the news because, to me, and I know I'm going to sound like a conspiracy nut, it's all pretty much propaganda.
Well,
And
yeah.
in our country, USA. USA. The propaganda has to tell us that we're the good guys.
Yeah.
The difference between war now and war when I was a youngster, we used to take our graduating high school students and send them to get shot and killed. Turned out that didn't play well. So now we just send the weapons to other people's high school graduates.
Well,
And we watch it on TikTok and go, Well, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
Yeah.
An elephant pooped on a child at the zoo. Holy cow.
We're on the same algorithm, I think.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the world.
And it's weird to get the dichotomy between what you can see on your newsfeed is interesting, too. And that's, again, going back to the propaganda thing. It's like, well, who's controlling TikTok and who's deciding what they get to show you, you know, because if it's this, there's a lot of debate about it. Oh, if it's somebody with their thumb on the scale, you know, in China, TikTok is all math problems and they're solving.
And they're
you know.
Teaching their children. They're educating their children with TikTok.
But
you can't in China, you can't see alligators eating house cats. You can't see that.
Now,
in China.
Are they better
are they
or are they worse?
Are censoring that out in
yes,
China?
Yes, yes. Now, yeah, so there's arguments to be. I mean, this is such a deep thing too, where it's like a lot of their kids are raised on memorization. Mm. So like that's been their school system, which is you know, has its own benefits, but they struggle to, I think, create or problem solve over there.
Yeah,
so
there are. You know, and here in the United States, we have the have-yachts and the have-nots. That exists all over the world in every country. By the way, we think other countries are entirely different. Oh, they enslaved their people.
Yeah,
they're for free speech.
Yeah.
And then when you go and travel, it's like they got fast food stores, they got a job, they got a car. It's like it's almost the same.
Yeah.
And they think their government is great.
Yeah.
Because their government told them, oh, the U.S., you would not want to live there.
Yeah.
It's decrepit. It's immoral. It's everybody is
and that's what
stuffing
we like
themselves
about it.
With ice cream. Yes. So far, I haven't totally factual.
Where do we get to the bad part? I don't know.
I know there is some fake news in there. I don't know what it is. So anyway, congratulations on your first Vegas headline. As a parent, to watch all these other comics first. Yeah, there's the MC. He was good, by the way.
Oh.
Then there was the first comic, a young local comic, who had promise. That's what I said about you 13 years ago. You had promise. And then there was a gal who, I think she was moved to Vegas.
Uh-huh, from San Francisco.
And she got a little edgy in the middle of her set. It was very good. And then they said, are you ready for your headliner? And of course, mom and dad are like,
yeah, no big deal.
Fruit of my loins. Fruit of my loins.
Yeah.
And then you really got up and killed.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a really good show, and because you showed up 5 minutes late, I thought that you were gonna be like, oh, he must have paid this audience. Like, he must have come out and been like, my parents are coming, just laugh at everything. Just give me this one. But everything went pretty well, you know, like they laughed at all the right parts and everything hit. So
and then so you know, folks, then the next day, Andrew has either audio or video or both. In this case, audio of the show, and he goes over, this is how comedians work. He goes over each joke, you work all day, modify them. There's this thing called a tag where you add a tag to a joke. And comics sometimes give each other tags, right? Didn't Titus give you a tag or two?
I mean, over the years, yeah.
You gave him one, I think.
I gave him a few. Well, I don't know how well, you know, where they end up sometimes, but it is tougher too as like, it's harder for people to write sort of for you where they're like, oh, try something like this, you know, because everyone develops their own style and their own way.
It has to be in your
voice.
But
occasionally, like the line about you and I talked about how you loved Gabriel Rutledge's joke because it wasn't one of mine, you know, like that was a really key line. That's a really key laugh in that spot because there's more silence than normal or more
on purpose,
more setup. Yes.
Yeah, to
more,
build up tension,
more setup. And, I was on tour and I had just written that and I was rehearsing it while my roommate was in the shower, but the bathroom was still, he could still hear me. And so he got out of the shower and he was like, I have a tag for you. And then that was the line that he gave me of, hey, add a laugh here where you say it was his favorite joke because it wasn't yours or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, that's nice. So and Gabriel helped you with that.
Yeah.
So he did loan you like someone would loan a next door neighbor a rake or a shovel.
Yeah.
Or a cup of sugar.
Except I get to, yeah, a cup of sugar is good because yeah. I get to keep it.
Yeah.
Some ingredients good. for the comedy pie.
You can't have that joke anymore.
That's fun. Right.
Well, it's great to have you here in Las Vegas. I hope you keep coming back.
Thanks.
And I hope you get a residency at the Venetian, mm-hmm. like Taylor Tomlinson did. But I know you believe this. You probably have to become some minority that checks some boxes. So could it be trans? Could it be?
I've already got the hair and the pretty face. You know, I don't know.
A couple of falsies and you could pull it off.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, the internet is going to be the great equalizer in terms of if you get a follow, you know.
Yeah.
Really, the industry is backwards now, where it's like, you know, the industry used to make the man, and now the man makes the, like, literally
it's the same.
Comedy clubs are just in the business of selling alcohol, so it's whoever can fill
the club
with people who will buy booze.
But also whoever fills the club is whoever just blew up on the internet.
Sure.
And so it used to be, yes, you'd have to convince someone, a curator, mm-hmm. to let you on. It's the same with music.
Right.
Anybody can make music and distribute it globally.
And so that's the thing you talk about, is like when there was a gatekeeper, and for the last couple of years they've been like very heavily focused on diversity, like all these women on TV complaining about how we never used to let them on TV. And
well, that's why I gave you shit, because Taylor Tomlinson is all of a sudden playing at the Venetian for 5 nights, and I'm like, well, you were both equals a few years ago. Yeah, what happened? Yeah.
Well, she was a lot more talented and worked
beautiful,
harder.
And could,
yeah, easier to look at helps for
could
sure.
Talk but... about female stuff that is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I know nothing about what it's like to be a 30-year-old woman.
But I've been locked in zero mental institutions. So, you know, the trade-off.
That's a disadvantage for you. Were we too good of a parent?
Yes.
For you to be a great comic.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
As far as the material goes, first of all, it was funny because Mom's review, or your review, was that Mom has laughed harder at that show than any other show I've ever done.
She did. And she, the joke I made, I didn't make the full joke on Facebook, was the last time she laughed that hard was the last time she saw me naked.
That's funny.
Yeah. But I just put shirtless on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not one of those shock jocks on Facebook. but no, she really, and you know what it is?
You white guys with your dick jokes.
She, seeing you headline in Vegas, knowing what we've had to pay for tickets to see people in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like your foot is in the door. The camel toe is under the tent.
Yeah.
It's time. Yeah, that's a little bit of a...
That's about, take it.
But that's a, that analogy requires you to do what we talked about, which is, you know, change your sex.
A lot of imagination there.
Now, the last thing I want to talk about on this brief podcast
is... Well, anyway, Mom, my joke was that she laughed the most at the set because it's all about you being an idiot. So.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But she also, like, loves Tom Brady, and she... laughed at the Tom Brady.
I was impressed. Yeah, she.
I thought she'd leave the room.
There was lots of dirty jokes and lots of
on the fifth or sixth MF-er.
Yeah, she's.
I thought she'd be gone.
Yeah, she's having a good time.
She was totally in it. Okay, so the last thing just to mention, and I don't want to get too personal because I don't want to mess it up, but Andrew over the years has had several girlfriends.
Oh boy.
Or girl acquaintances.
Sure.
Sometimes you're in the friend zone, like I always was.
Oof.
Right?
We're getting into this section.
Yeah. I mean, I was in a friend zone with this girl in high school, and now it's been more than 50 years, and we visit and we chat, and Mom and I went over, and her husband made us dinner, and I thought...
And Mom still gets jealous.
No, she was actually. Yeah, she was like, your girlfriend. And I'm like, sure, a girl and a friend.
Yeah.
If that's threatening to you, every time I walk out the door, there are vaginas everywhere. Anyway... you have not, in my estimation, ever had a serious long-term girlfriend. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, answer, one word answers is fine. And then, and by that, I also believe
And this is still not a serious long-term thing yet.
Not yet.
So
no, it's a serious short-term thing.
We're just blowing
but,
it.
But, well, but it's lasted weeks at least.
It's good.
So, but also, you were never a playa. You were never there at the comedy clubs picking out which waitress you might be able to.
I mean, I tried, but they didn't. They weren't that interested. So, you know.
Oh. I thought you had higher standards.
Sure. Everyone's a good person when it's not being thrown in your face.
Okay.
It's easy to have the moral high ground when you know no, you don't have any options.
I know you better than that because you seriously, you could have caught all kinds of
diseases.
You'd have herpes by now if you were me. Back before I met your mother, when I was in a band, the purpose of being in a band was...
To try to get laid,
to become a great musician. No.
I should have learned to play guitar,
So, anyway, but this new gal, and we could say her name, right?
Sure.
It's a common name.
Yeah.
It's Kelly.
Uh-huh.
She rides horses.
Uh-huh.
She's very beautiful.
Sure.
Does she have a vision problem?
Yeah. She doesn't see a future with me. That's the problem.
She's funny. She's funny, too. I mean, this is the first girl where we like FaceTime Zoom called.
Yeah.
Me and your mother, because she just wanted to meet
us. I just happened to be hanging out with her on mom's birthday. And so when I FaceTimed mom, she just happened to pop in. And she's really doing a good way, weaseling her way in. So I can't push her away yet. So.
Well, don't you dare push her away.
Because, I know you like
listen,
this one.
Dude, your options are not going getting bigger as you get older. Your teeth right now are white, they look great.
Yeah.
Your hair, not bad for one of the Nelson brothers. And your face, you could still clean it up a little bit. But she's pretty hot as far as the she pushes the right buttons. She's got a sense of humor. She's got her own life, her own passions and hobbies. And I don't know her. Course.
I mean, this is all from a 3-minute FaceTime call.
She could be from one of those,
already in love.
One of those streaming TV shows where she's luring you in so you end up in the dungeon and then she serial kills you.
Sounds hot.
But great material.
You know, the good die young.
If your brother becomes a comic. So, no, she seems wonderful. And when we were on the Zoom call, she was like smooching with you on the call, like it was a PDA moment.
Oh, really? I didn't even.
Oh, I
don't remember that.
I mean,
I'm
not going to do it. But
she was,
arm
around me or whatever. But
snuggling.
Oh, there you go.
And for the first parent meet, I thought that was a bold move.
Yeah.
And anyway, I like her a lot from just 10 minutes of FaceTiming. You're the one who gets to decide how to ruin your life. You do your own. You're the
spin the wheel of misfortune.
Yes, but she seems very nice, and I think everybody should congratulate you in the comments for having a girlfriend for more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're hanging in there. Hi, mom.
Mom, do you want to say
anything?
Have
any comments? You have a review of the show or?
Hi.
Get in here.
Come here. Get close to a mic.
No one sees my face if you're in there.
Oh no. I haven't been listening, but happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
And also to you, Bob. For 2 years of surviving your surgery.
2 years since the surgery. That's right. 2 years on May 10th and 2.5 years since diagnosis. And I am not quite a unicorn yet. You know what the unicorn is? Typically, it's a 5-year survival.
All right.
Because almost nobody.
Sure.
But I'm whatever a halfway to a unicorn is. I'm a gelding.
You're
a gelding.
And I'm glad you're here.
We knocked it, we cut it off.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't in the balls. It was, up here.
All right.
Anyway. What? We offended you?
Can we talk about his balls? She wasn't actually listening to the joke. She was just staring into Tom Brady's eyes.
Yeah. Oh, last night? Yeah. Except all right well
but so none of the material is you don't feel misrepresented, you don't
okay, you asked me this, the one thing you lied about and it was to protect yourself, which is by the way why almost all lies are told, I believe, in all of humanity. Check me, people, if you agree or not. The story of me falling down on the Southwest jetway, where you sort of made it like I was not paying attention. You made it like I was, just an idiot for falling down. But what really happened that day is that Andrew and his mom were so excited to see the brother, Keith, and Leanne and the granddaughters. And here I am sitting there, you know, in a wheelchair. I've got a cane, and I'm still not recovered from the neuropathy of chemo, which is what you could fall and kill yourself.
Yeah.
And I said, it wasn't about that I wanted a window seat. It was that if you went up with me to go on early, which handicapped people get, and believe me, I'd really trade not having the cancer for the cool parking spot, just so you know. But what you changed the story to was...
You said...
Well, what happened
is... I want to sit in the exit row.
No, I said, you guys can sit in the exit row if you don't go up with me. And you just ran up there anyway because your mother had asked, can we go? She wants the benefit.
You were in line, though.
I was sitting down.
No, you were in line. This is the whole,
the human brain.
How hard did you hit your
it
head?
It remembers the story the way the PR people inside of
you
our
were
head
not,
want to.
Listen, no, we'll get mom in here for this version of
it. It doesn't matter because the bottom line was
you guys ran ahead. I did not lie in this story at all.
You guys ran ahead.
I love this.
And abandoned me and left me behind. And I was trying to keep up with you when I fell and could have killed myself.
That's true. That
and I
part
was
is
mad
true.
At you
that
for that.
That part is true.
But I only stay mad for how long?
About 2 hours.
That's about right. Yes.
And then the next day, too.
Yeah. No, I wasn't mad about it. In fact, I was laughing about it. But then we got to Keith's chiropractor, and Keith wanted to show off and give you his new age chiropractor who's going to take 2 hours. You know, with all this phony chiro malpractice stuff, I don't believe it.
Larry the chiro guy. Yeah. He's got all sorts
of
catchphrases
and so
powers on.
And you guys leave me in the car.
Hey, this
and
was
this
yeah,
is
okay.
And so I'm sitting in the car all alone. This part of the story should be told.
Sure.
I'm sitting in the car all alone. Everybody's abandoned me because you know just let the guy with the cane sit in the car for a couple hours. If he has to pee, we'll just change his diaper.
And we're not getting a deposit back on this rental car for sure. He hasn't
and
shit
so
in
Keith,
6 days.
Keith was probably feeling a little guilty that I'm sitting in the car, like, why am I not in there? And he calls me and he says, how are you doing? And I said, well, I feel like a dog that's left at the casino with the window cracked in 90 degree heat while parents go to gamble.
And I, when I, it should be known, when I walked in, I said, how long is this going to, we got the puppy in the car.
No one denies you're caring. You just don't do anything about it. Anyway. So that led to a brouhaha with me and Keith that I'm still not even sure he's over. I was over it when he came out. I was already I was laughing because I thought the dog in the casino parking lot was a good joke.
Not that
I was trying to hurt his feelings. Yeah. And
but you're trying to spoonful of sugar, let him know this is not my ideal situation.
Yeah, but I also have figured out some people get jokes.
Yeah.
Some people get offended.
Yeah.
And you can't, it's hard to tell which is which sometimes.
Now.
Like your mother watching all that slutty filth.
It was so filthy.
On the Tom Brady.
A bunch of dogs.
Yes.
So
but it was like Scope toothpaste.
Yeah.
You know, I hate this twice a day. Yes.
Well, I just wanted to, his discrepancy. He still claims he was sitting down at the airport in my joke when I say he's in line wanting to sit in the exit row.
All right, let's scratch that.
Let's just say he's recovering.
Let's just say you guys ran off without me and left me behind to try and catch up and fall on my ass. That part there's no dispute.
That's true.
All right, Mr. Stormy Daniels, you may sit down now. We got what we want. All right. Hey, Lisa, come back because we have to say Happy Mother's Day and wrap this up. Come here.
Come back.
I want to mention while Lisa is coming back that with my brother, Michael, and his wife, Chandra.
Oh, yes. Great song.
And my other brother, Richard, who's a great guitar player. Michael and Chandra do like folk clubs and coffee houses. Anyway, I saw them do a song. I said, hey, could I? I've always wanted to produce a song by my family. And there was great talent in my family. My departed brother, Paul, was a drummer. Richard is seriously studio level incredible guitar player, and Michael and Chandra are the cute husband wife couple singing a folk song that you see them smile at each other and they just effuse a kind of love that we all wish we had, don't we, Lisa? Anyway, so this is a happy Mother's Day message. If you're on Facebook, or you could see it on YouTube starting later on Mother's Day. It's called Mama Was Right, and it was a song written about my mom, Barbara, and performed by her three boys. We also had a drummer from London who's like a world-class drummer who does sessions. And the bass player is my friend Ben Karlstrom, who is my co-producer of, and mixer of Twisted Tunes for almost 30 years.
I'm writing a song about my mother. It's called Mama Was a Cunt.
Now, wait a minute. What are the algorithms going to
do?
What are my algorithms going to do? Look, this guy is trashy. Yeah. We have 3,000 to 5,000 halfway decent Americans who occasionally listen to what I have to say.
I'm leaving the room now.
Okay. Hey, kiss again.
Happy Mother's Day.
Another kiss. Hey. Another kiss.
Proof, yeah, proof of life for the cameras. Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Andrew, you can check him out at, well, don't bother with the World Wide Web. He doesn't even update that. Nobody has the web anymore.
I've just bought a new website, actually.
Oh, did you really? Okay. Facebook is where you'll find Andrew.
Andrew J. Rivers, yeah. Instagram, YouTube. New special, June 11th. Okay. So.
Oh, that's coming out.
Subscribe, yeah.
That's going to be big. All right. Please support my son so I don't have to. Have a wonderful day.